Turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. And in our study of Jeremiah, we have come to 15th chapter. And in the process of that, Jeremiah has been exercised and he has been developing and growing. Remember back in chapter 1, he would say, I am but a child. And God, that assignment is way over my head. It's way too much for me to even consider it. Now, so time goes, as it should, and the Jeremiah develops, he grows, he learns. And that's the way it should be. So all the time you're learning, growing, and developing. And in the process of developing, you're being educated, you're being exercised, and you're learning to be involved. Now, and a way to think it may help you with that, we ought to be, among many other things, co-laborers, co-workers with God as believers in the body of Christ. So in being a co-laborer, co-worker, we need to understand the work. We need to understand the workmen and procedure and what's involved so that we are relating properly. The more we understand, the more helpful. Just think if you were I can just imagine it, that's all I can do. I would think if you were a nurse, some of you are, and you were a nurse in a operating procedure, and I would think if you somehow were in there and the doctor or doctors were busy doing, and here are all these different instruments and scissors and saws and hammers and everything. Here they all are. And in the process, the doctor is doing whatever, and the doctor has to come over and point out, this is what I like, so you pick that up gently with your sanitized hands, and you pick that up and hand it to him, and he does that. Now, but as time goes on, and you hang in there, pretty soon, you know when he needs those instruments, true? And pretty soon, when you really get on target, boy, you're able to go, and the doctor just holds his hand up, and plunk, in it goes, you see. He wants 4 cotton balls. In they go, you know. And that's so that it cushions your insides afterwards. So your whole insides, once you had your surgery, are filled with cotton. And just think how padded you are if you fall, you know. Now, so you're growing, you're growing, you're growing, you're growing. That's what has to be involved. Jeremiah, that's what's happening. I'm growing and growing. I understand who I work for. I understand more and more what the work is. And I understand the procedure that is required to make it all happen. Thus, Jeremiah chapter 15, and in verse 10, we shared together, woe is me, my mother. Remember now, we just got through leveling the statements that Jerusalem is doomed, to say the least. Chapter 15, verse 10, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me. My mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth. He's looking to his mother and say, Mom, mother, you have brought forth a man, you've given birth to a man that is a man of strife, contention. His existence makes a lot of waves, a lot of trouble, and, in verse 10, a man of contention, dispute, quarrel. It means the object of strife. It means a marked man. And the word is mean large, giant, big man. So you can't miss him. He's a marked man. My mother has given birth to a man who causes many waves and ripples and arguments and discontention. He's a marked man. I'm a marked man. You can't miss me. Wow. And I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. So I didn't borrow from anybody. I didn't lend to anybody. There's no business. We aren't in anything where I owe them and they owe me. There's no reason. There's no cause for such. I don't know why they treat me like this. I don't know why they're acting like this. I didn't do anything to merit this. And thus, here I am. So yet everyone, verse 10, yet, end of the verse, yet every one of them, knowing I did nothing to cause this, yet everyone there doth curse me. Everyone there is cursing me. Wow. That's what they're doing. So here's his family's cursing him. He wants to kill him. His friends. The whole place. The whole thing. And they're all trying to curse me. Wow. And remember now, the word curse is to call down evil, to detest, to abhor, to become exceedingly vile. Not curse. Curse him. Curse Jeremiah. And thus, that's what they did. They were doing that. So Jeremiah, now, you see, it's growing. They didn't have that in the beginning. And just a little while from now, they're going to start throwing him into prison. They're going to stop throwing him into prison. And then the prison's going to increase. A regular prison to a worse prison to a worse prison. That's what you're going to do. That's what's going on. Wow. Wow. And I didn't do anything. All I did was God. I was a little child, and God gave me an assignment. I went and delivered the message as a herald. I did what I was supposed to do. And in the process, instead of being blessed, I'm cursed. Now, in order to get a little bit on that, over, if you would please, to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers and chapter 22. All kinds of ways to do it. We'll do it this way with Balaam and Balak. And if I can, remember, Balaam's a Gentile prophet, and God uses him. And Balak is a king that is king of Moab, etc. And in the process, he is very unhappy with Israel in the wilderness. I mean, go traveling. Boy, we're in danger. So we've got to do something to stop Israel because they're unstoppable. Uh-huh. Now, so chapter 22, verse 12. And in chapter 22, verse 12, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. Why not? For they are blessed. Don't curse them. Don't curse them. Bless them. Chapter 23. Chapter 23, as we proceed, verse 8, to pick up the thought. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned, counted among the nations. They're a very, very special people of God, and they're to be blessed. And I can't curse them. I can't curse them. Now, chapter 24. Chapter 24, and in verse 13. Again, if Balak would give me his house full of silver, and he has a big house, full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. I'm obligated to God. I can't. I don't have the power, the right. Whatever I say wouldn't work. Only God has the right to make such prophetic pronouncements. Now, so here, Balak, Balaam, you got it. And Balak is going to have to learn. Now, over in the, with that in mind, you can't bless when God is, you can't curse when God is blessed. Nehemiah in chapter 13. And in Nehemiah chapter 13, I'll pick up a little bit in verse 2. Nehemiah 13, 2. And because they met not, well, I'll read verse 1 for the context. On that day they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people, everyone's listening, and herein was found written that the Ammonites and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. They don't belong. Verse 2. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into blessing. So this is Nehemiah after the Babylonian captivity. They have gone back to Jerusalem. Verse 3. And now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. They did everything. In other words, that they heard God cursed. Balak wanted a cursing. God said there has to be a blessing. And in the process of all of that, God was going to end up blessing. That's what he's going to do. And in the process, Israel understood at that point in their life, Ezra and Nehemiah, that they had to fix some things in and above the assembly, the people. They had to fix some things, and that's what they were going to do, and they did. Now, in the process, so God, they were very conscious of the history, cursing, blessing. They understood. Over, if you would, to Malachi, to the end of the Old Testament, Nehemiah and Ezra back here, and now we come forward in history, and Malachi and chapter 2. Now, they're going downhill from Nehemiah and Ezra, but what's new? So now, here's Malachi and chapter 2, and in verse 2. I'll read verse 1. And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. If you will hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory, if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. You aren't changing your heart. Nehemiah, they're going to change. And when you get to Malachi, a little further down the road, before you come to the big space and then John the Baptist, they aren't going to change their mind. They're not. And so they go from blessing to curse. They did it. So now when we come to, here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is being cursed backward in history here. And Jeremiah is being cursed by the people. They don't like what he says. They don't want him to say anything. They wish he didn't exist. So now, in the light of that cursing, and Jeremiah, you're getting clipped. I'm getting clipped. Now, God, you're going to deal with Jeremiah. I am. But before you deal with Jeremiah, let us take a little stop and go, and how is God dealing with us in a world that curses us? How does a world that, in other words, if they say, I'm not cursed, the world doesn't want the Christ that saves you. The world does not want God's word that settles what? That the world is condemned already. They don't want that either. They don't want any of it. So I'm not cursed. Hold it now. If you're saved, then you understand the person that saves you inside your heart is cursed by the world. The world curses him. And you need to see that and understand that. And as you allow an expression of Christ in your life, you're going to find that kind of flack, because it just exists. The Lord Jesus said it in John 15. How are you going to live in the world and in it, but not of it, if you understand when you're going to represent me, they hate me, they're certainly going to hate you. So that doesn't mean everyone's throwing stones at you. It just means that you're sort of an odd nut. Is that all right? You're sort of there, and you really are different. You don't think like most of us. How's that? You don't think like most of us. You don't appreciate what we're up against or what we're trying to do. You don't appreciate that. They aren't happy. So God, here we are in a world that isn't happy. Now God, help me with that. Over again to Galatians. As you would know, Galatians in chapter 3. And in Galatians in chapter 3, picking up the wonderful context of our Lord's saving grace, chapter 3 and verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. It is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." In other words, you can't break one little law. You can't break one thing. You can't goof in any way. It's impossible. And when you come to the end of chapter 27 in Deuteronomy, it says all the law, cursed if a man or woman is one of them, one spot. Now, so have that. So God, the law condemns us. The law says, I need righteousness and purity, and we don't measure up. So now, God, that's what the law says. Verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law, in the sight of God it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." If the righteous are going to have to live by faith and not by works. Verse 12, "The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." The person that says, I'm going to work my way to merit, to earn, to reward, be rewarded and recognized, then that's the law. You're working it. You're trying to work it out all by your lonesome. And you were never going to make it. On the other hand, verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, became a curse for us. What do you mean? The law says you're cursed. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, the wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus Christ bore that curse, bore the wages of sin. And that's why he was died. That's why he died. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you leaving me all on my lonesome? Because you're bearing the sin of the world. Cursed. He became cursed for us. He became cursed for us. So we're not that. Having said that little bit, verse 14, "that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So we want what? Blessing. Not cursing, and the Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible. And as Abraham trusted the Lord, and we trust the Lord, and by faith, God, you bless us. You became the curse. So the curse was on it, the law was on it, and you fulfilled it all. That's correct. So now, God, we're cursed. No, I'm cursed. You're blessed. I'm cursed, you're blessed. You're poor, you were poor, I became poor so that you could become rich. That's what happened. Understand that. Now you're blessed. Hang on. The world is cursing us. Cursing us being saved. Cursing us having that super duper working where we're going to be wonderfully, we are wonderfully related to Almighty God here and now. That's an awesome thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in the light of that, Romans, where you're here, Romans in chapter 8, and picking up, if I can, in verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, and verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. So who's going to accuse you of anything? And the devil, remember the word devil, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. And but all his accusations, which are 5 million of them if he wants, are no good. They're no good because you can't curse what God has blessed. And God didn't bless it with a little wand and throw water on you like some people do. He didn't do that. He gave you himself in his son. And that is never cursed. Never cursed. So God, the world does all, I hate you. They can do all that. I don't like you. They can do all that. That's all right. That's all right. You can't curse me. Israel, Jeremiah, boy, do they want to curse you. Oh, do they want to? We're going to pick that up maybe a little anyway. They want to curse you. But they can't. See? Can't do it. They'd like to curse you if you're a believer. But they can't. They can't. Ah. To train. No, they can't change anything. Because all that is done, next verse, chapter 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's anyone to answer about you, it's him. Hang on to that. If you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your great high priest, answers anything and everything about you. Just think of it. He's the head, and the believer becomes part of the body, and the believer in the body, and then the accusations are made all over the place from within, without. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because you in the body, under the head calls the shots for the body. True? The head calls the shots. So therefore, when you're all done, it can't go anywhere. It can't go any further than God wants it to. And God said, I have blessed you. Hang on. I blessed you. Now, if you would, over in your Bible, back over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, if I may, picking up, and remember now, in the process, it isn't, Jeremiah is at first, he's growing, he's developing, he's understanding more and more of the battle, the intensity, the awesomeness of it all, and it is devastating. To know to say it, we don't know it. God does. The awfulness of sin. We say sin. Do you understand? To God's holiness, the awfulness of sin. Awfulness. No, it isn't awful. It is awful. But we don't understand that. We just have a little sin, we do a little this, a little that, and it's, no, it's a problem. No problem. Hold it. From God's point of view, it's a whole other realm. So we're growing. Jeremiah's growing, developing. He's alone in the dark. He feels the pushing on him, and having his all the pieces. He's getting piece after piece of the of what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and he is a co-laborer, co-worker, as it were. He's developing. And in the process, he's knowing, but he's not knowing, and he's knowing and not knowing, but in the process, he is developing what? He's developing a wonderful one. He's hanging in there. If you don't hang in there, you never get there. When you go to school and all these different things, learn something different, don't you have to hang in there and try to learn it? You can't quit. You have to finish and hang in there. And that's how you learn. You may not be as skilled as somebody else or as quick, but that isn't the point. That isn't the point. The race isn't run to the fast guy. No, the race is given, the reward is given to everyone that runs and finishes. How they finish, when they finish, that's God's business. And God will honor all of them. So you can't say, well, this guy runs fast. Well, let him run. God bless him. And you just be a turtle and plow along. That's what you do. Now, so in the process, and when that happens, you have a wonderful certainty. Because why? You're learning, you're becoming more and more confident in God. You don't know how it's going, but you're learning, whatever it is, there's a plan and purpose design. And it has to work out a certain way. It can't just be any old way. It has to work out in God's kind of way. So therefore, you hang in there, and just like a piece of the puzzle, the more you look, you get more pieces. And you need to. And what are you helping us? How are you helping Jeremiah? I'm helping him see the big picture, so he can handle the little piece that he's doing. So the more and more I understand the big picture, I can understand the next 2 hours of my life. Because I got a big picture that helps me with a little picture that I'm working through. Wow. So here we are, and I develop a great certainty. I become very certain, confident in God. Just God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness, but boy, we can trust him. That's right. And you have to learn it. Just think of Matthew 6, you don't have to turn there, 32, 33. You know, my Father, you have a Heavenly Father that knows everything you need before you ask him anyway. And God will make sure everything is fulfilled. Uh-huh, he will. But I have to learn to trust him. That's right. And how do you do that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So you put him first. There's no second. First. You put him first. And God said, you keep me in the right place, and all of it will go. But we have to learn that. So how do we learn it? In the College of Hard Knocks? Jeremiah, you're learning it. Uh-huh. And God's going to bring it to pass in a wonderful way for him in the future. Now, so here in Jeremiah chapter 15 and in verse 11, the Lord said, verse 11, verily it should be well with thy remnant. So God, the Lord said to Jeremiah, encouraging his heart, encouraging Judah, the remnant that would listen, the Lord said, verily it should be well with thy remnant. So here's the Jeremiah and the handful of people that are believing and trusting like Jeremiah and looking to God. And God gives a wonderful, God replies to verse 10 in verse 11. And God said, I'm going to deal with the enemy. I'm going to strengthen the heart. Now, so in verse 11, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. And the word remnant means to send forth, the verb, to let loose, to send forth. If you would, it's intensive, you have chains, and the chains are released. It's intensive. I'll release you. I'll set you free. That's what I'll do. Free for what? Part of the remnant. The remnant, every believer that was there, more than Jeremiah, all of them, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of them, God, you're going to bless them? Absolutely. They're free. They belong to me. The rest of it is judged. Now, the Lord said, verily, it will be well with thy remnant. So the ministry, as the ministry confirmed, Jeremiah, don't get discouraged. Things aren't going to go. But you be of good cheer. You want the one in charge of making it work out. I am. So if you don't mind, it's my earth. The humans are tenants on my property. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to have it work out the way I want it, when I want it, how I want it. So I want you to go and be encouraged, and everyone else that's with you. And in verse 11, the Lord said, verily it shall be well. Well, the word well, a good thing. The word, little word well means suitable, agreeable to the senses, beautiful, good, usefulness, advantageous. The Lord said, verily it shall be, I'm going to set you free, and it will be a good thing. Very beautiful, what I do. It will. You have the advantage. You are in the right place to enjoy the blessings. And I'm going to make it work out well for you. It's going to come out good. It looks terrible, but it's going to come out good. Now that's what he's encouraged on, and all the remnant should understand that. So now, and verse 11, remnant, verily, verily, oh, before I do that, let's do that little extra while you're looking at that in Jeremiah to pick that up. Chapter 39 of Jeremiah, moving ahead. In chapter 39, may I pick up, please? In chapter 9, 39, verse 11. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. Now here's Nebuchadnezzar, he's the boss. And he was concerned with Jeremiah. To his captain, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, he's the one in charge of the army. Take Jeremiah, and look well, there's your little word, look well to him, make sure you agree, beautiful, advantageous, useful, look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So that God, now, so here's Jeremiah, and they're all being taken, and this is the last time, during 586 and that, and they're all going to be taken captive, and they're all in chains, marching to Babylon, except Jeremiah, chapter 40, and picking up if I can, they're bound in chains, verse 1, chapter 40, verse 2, and the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. So they knew God has judged them. Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing has come upon you. This is an unsaved captain. And now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thy hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me to Babylon, come. If you want to keep coming with us, feel free to come. And I will look well unto thee. In other words, you're going to have every advantage under the sun. But if it seems ill, not so good unto thee to come with me to Babylon, forbear, you can stay here. Behold, all the land is before thee, whether it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, whether you go. You can do whatever you want, Jeremiah. Nebuchadnezzar said, whatever you need, whatever you want, I am to fulfill your wishes. Jeremiah. God said, be of good cheer, Jeremiah. It's going to come out good. No matter how you looks bad, it's going to come out all right. It's going to come out okay. So you have to learn that. Back over to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, picking up, please. And I will cause the enemy, to entreat thee. I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. In other words, when everything's going bad, the enemy, the bad guys that are cursing you, they're going to need you. They're going to have, they're going to be in such desperate straits. They're going to need you. Wow. Now, hang on to that little think of the thought that may help you. No one ever, whenever we've had a crisis, a real crisis, use 911 and the Pentagon for one. When we have a real crisis in our country, really, everyone, state, I remember the state of Connecticut and all of it, pray. We meet in the green. We're going to pray. You never pray, but we're going to pray. We're going to go pray. Everyone pray. Ah, the enemy that's against God, when the things are happening, all of a sudden they need God because there is no other person. There is no other solution, is there? And they know that. But the only one they have left is God, who they wish they didn't have to go to, but they're going to make the attempt. Now keep that in mind, because that's what they're doing. The enemy is going to come, Jeremiah, that are cursing you, and they're going to come and need you. Chapter 21, a case in point. Chapter 21. And in chapter 21, picking up, in verse 1. Zedekiah is the last king before Nebuchadnezzar levels the city. He's the king when they level the city. So Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us, and if so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. In other words, verse 3, then said Jeremiah unto them, thus shall you say, to Jeremiah unto them, thus you say to Zedekiah. So Zedekiah wants help. And there he is. And now, God said, I'm going to bring you a message. I'm going to come. You asked me to come. I'm going to tell you what God's going to say. And when all is done to move for time's sake, in verse 5, I myself will fight against you, said God. Zedekiah wants God to fight against Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah says, God has answered your prayer. And God is going to personally fight against you. Not Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, he's going to enable Nebuchadnezzar to fight against you. Now, verse 5, 21. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand, with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast, and they shall die of a great pestilence. And afterwards, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah to Judah, of Judah, etc., etc., etc. So what are you going to do? Well, you could turn several other places. They're going to end up, as things get bad and badder and worser, they're going to have to turn. And they come to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, I'll accommodate you. Let me give you the next word from God. And it's judgment, judgment, judgment. You should have said way back here, but you never said it. And here we go. It's the no more help. Now, having said that little bit, back over to chapter 15 for a minute. Do you see the word entreat, verse 11, the verb, the enemy to entreat thee, entreat thee. Now, go, hold your finger, go over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, and you're going to see the same word, so you pick it up easy. Chapter 7, and in verse 16, therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make, underlined in your mind, intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. The word intercession is the word entreat, to make intercession, to meet with somebody, to meet with somebody and talk with somebody in order to get some help, to intercede, to be an ally, to come and bring some help. You need help. We need help. Now, so here they are, and they're going to come, and they're going to seek Jeremiah to intercede for them. Now, having said that, let's put that together for us quickly. Over, if you would please, in the light of this intercession. And Jeremiah didn't do any good, did it? You wanted help, but how are you going to help? Help, help, help. There comes the tower down. There, help, help, help. But it isn't gone away. Everything's still here and growing. Growing. ISIS and all of that. Nothing's cured. Nothing. Too late, maybe. I hope not. A little. Jeremiah, over if you would please. Oh, to Isaiah. Thank you. Isaiah, chapter 53. Remember, look in the little word, entreat, intercession. And so Jeremiah is going to do it, but they aren't going to be happy with the intercession. Isaiah chapter 53, picking up, if I may, in verse 12 directly. I'm going to go directly, if I can, to the end. I'll read verse 12, I guess. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He was counted as a sinner, counted with a punishment and penalty. And he bare our sins, bare the sins of many, and made intercession. There's your little word. Made intercession and treatment to come and get help, meet with somebody, God, for our because for the transgressors. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Romans 8 again. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, may pick up in thought, if I can. We did the in the light of the God's wonderful caring, and who's going to condemn us? Who's going to curse us? You can't curse us. Now, God can do a work in our heart and let a lot of things happen, but you can't be cursed. You can have problems, but you can't be cursed. And the intercession. Well, now here they are. And Jeremiah can't intercede on behalf of the Israelites, Jerusalem. He can't do that. It isn't going to pay off. Now, God, here we are, cursed in the world, and the world doesn't want you, doesn't want your word. That may be, but here we are. And God, you're going to, we can't get cursed, we're blessed. Uh-huh. And God, now, who is going to intercede? Now, we can... God, we can pray. We can pray to you for what's happening. Hang on. But the reason we are even going to try that is because of your intercession for us to meet and speak and bring our petition, our need to someone else. Now, Romans chapter 8, as you know, wonderful, wonderful section. Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, and we don't. We have no idea of 10 minutes from now. We can guess a whole lot of things and anticipate, but we don't know for sure. It hasn't happened yet. Now, in chapter 8, verse 26, And we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession, there's your little word, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit of God is going to go and bring to God the Father, by way of God the Son, all of our needs. Your Father knoweth your need before you ask Him. The Spirit of God knows what you need to pray, and then you're learning to trust Him. You aren't trying to figure out what your need is. God already knows your need. You're learning to trust God to outwork whatever the need is ahead of time. So He's way ahead. You're way ahead of the game. I don't know. I may never cross the street. That's all right. God knows that. God knows that. So we're counting, God. We're counting. You know it. You know how it should be. That's right. Now, verse 27. And He that searcheth the hearts, God the Father, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints. There's your little word again. For the saints, according to the will of God. And that's what you want. You want God's will for your life, in God's time, in God's way. All the while, the world's trying to curse, and wish you'd go away. But we're left in the world until God takes us out to be a little light in the darkness, to show, point to the right direction, that God happens to be God and doesn't change. So now, in the light of that, so you want the Spirit of God wants the will of God. And what do you want? I want the will of God for my life. Whether I, next 10 minutes, I want God's will. The next 10 hours, I want God's will. The work, home, school, play, I want God's will. I haven't got there yet, but that's what I'm looking for. And God, You're going to work it out. I'm going to trust You. I'm not trying to have all kinds of petitions here in the wrong way. They're not going to go anywhere. No, God, You have to work things out because You have the big picture. And I'm living in the little spot here. But I know there's a big picture. I'm seeing it better and better, more and more, from Your point of view, God, so that I can live with this and handle it properly, see my little spot, and understand it fits in the big picture now. So chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who's making intercession for us. So here's our Lord Jesus Christ, which we said a moment ago, is making intercession. That's right. So God, how are we going to get cursed? You can't get cursed. I can judge you. You will not be condemned with the world anymore when you get saved. But I will judge you and chasten you. So don't think you're off the hook. I will deal with you. It's true, you can't get lost, and you can't get cursed. But I want you to know that you are mine, and whom I love, Hebrews 12, I'm going to what? I'm going to chase and discipline. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. So don't think it's some picnic. It isn't going to work for you. What isn't going to work? You want to be blessed. I told you can't be cursed. You're blessed. But you will not enjoy that blessing without me. Now, over in closing, over if you would, over to first Ephesians, and in first Ephesians, in chapter 1. Would you please note? Remember now, we're being cursed. Jeremiah is being cursed by the nation and the world. And he's being blessed by God. And Jeremiah needs to learn that. So in the middle of hard things, there's the blessing. Aha! I don't want to lose it. And that's what you said, God. I told you, you're not cursed, you're blessed. But if you don't honor me, and you fool around wrongly, then and you don't want to exercise what I'm trying to do and be with me on the same page, then you'll never enjoy those blessings. You're going to be saved with wood, hay, and stubble. You're going to live and you're going to have to find it later. But isn't it good if you could find it now? Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. My God, are you blessed? Uh-huh. And who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? So God, here we are, thoroughly, wonderfully blessed. Best. Not cursed, blessed. You have a body that's dying and perishing and all of that. But be of good cheer. You are blessed. And the only way you fail to enjoy that blessing, you have to learn it. You have to go through it. You have to exercise like Jeremiah and say, woe is me. And you keep learning and learning and growing and growing. And you get there. And then you're blessed. Because you can't be cursed. You have to be blessed. That's the way it is. I can't help it. I can't help it. You can curse me all you want. You can sentence me to hell. But you can't do it. You can't do it. Because you're blessed. Wow. And I hope you got a little bit. Now, in the light of that, we'll have a word of prayer. Someone might like to maybe have a particular request.